forever by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint,
Alaska. Came to mind when I heard this song, especially.
In every artist's career, there are a few songs that stand out. On our new feature, Backtracking, we ask artists to look back at their discography and pick out some of those tracks and then tell us the stories behind them. Today, that artist is David Gray.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red.
He'll talk about the song he's most proud of, the song of his that makes him cry, and how he found peace with the song he has a complicated relationship with.
In a way, the last 25 years have been about being more than Mr. Babylon. So I just thought the only way out of this is just to keep doing it.
He also talks about why he loves songwriting so much.
One of the wonderful things about it is just how surprising it can be when you find what's inside you that you didn't know was there.
David Gray in a new Backtracking today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe. David Gray is the third person we've had on for Backtracking. Previous guests were Feist and Sting. You can find those episodes at worldcafe.org if you want to catch up. Here's Spoon, The Mystery Zone.
Picture yourself set up for good in the whole of the life. Mystery Zone. Make us a house, some faraway town where nobody will know us well. Where your dad's not around. And all the trouble you look for all your life, you will find it for sure. In the Mystery Zone. Times that we met. At all. He'll get there on his own. What gets him going off down that road is a thing he don't understand. Ooh, the Mystery Zone. Maybe all he wants, maybe all he needs is to know that the sun don't set on the Mystery Zone. How can it feel so familiar when you've never been there? How can it seem so unreachable? You never tried to find, never tried to find a Mystery Zone. Off of the Mystery Zone. And when you know love, when you find it for real, it contains the emotion sense of everyone read it. Your cover was blown. You weren't there, but you were. Ooh, in the Mystery Zone. But you were.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, and this is a new edition of our backtracking series. On Backtracking, we give an artist a list of prompts for songs, like a song that changed everything for me, or the song that came to me in a dream, things like that. And then they choose a few of those prompts, match them up to tracks from all across their back catalog, and we talk about them. Today, my guest is British singer-songwriter David Gray. David has been releasing music for over 30 years. His big breakout moment came in 1998 with his album White Ladder, which included the hit Babylon. He released his 13th album, Dear Life, in January of this year. He'll talk about and perform songs from that album and talk about a few notable tracks from his back catalog, too. This was recorded in front of a live World Cafe audience. David, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be back. Hello.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. Yep.
Good. I'm so happy you're here. The first prompt that you've chosen is the song that I am proud of. What song is it?
Yeah, I mean, I avoid the word proud because it's sort of like a reality TV, sort of, it's like induces tears, you know. But I am proud of this song. I think that this After the Harvest is the song that I've chosen. It's the first track on my new record. And the reason for that is because it's sort of, it was like new ground, and it delighted me to find a new space. I'm looking for freshness always when I start a new project and wondering where I can get to. And it's got a sort of fast vocal delivery over a 6/8. And because of the nature of the vocal delivery, you don't really notice the timing of the song until the chorus. But the chorus is the perfect counterpoint to the verses. So it's a sort of short story writer's trick that I used a lot on this record. There was a story I needed to tell, and this one's from a sort of older woman's perspective. So it's sort of life after the children have gone and the relationship has ended or whatever, the sort of proposed invisibility of that older person in the sort of youth-obsessed culture, I guess. It's just the challenges of being alive for more than five decades. It's the humor and the lightness with which the song presents the ideas, but also the form that it took, as I say, the delight I had in the rhyming schemes. It announces the record in the perfect way, because if there's been a trend in my writing in the last 25, 30 years, it's probably been to simplify. I started off very kind of wordy and trying to be like, you know, very verbose about things and very descriptive, lots of adjectives. And if anything, I've sort of simplified. But on this record, again, a bit like the narrative of some of the songs, I did a U-turn and I ended up in these almost sort of blood on the track style kind of elaborate rhyming schemes where it's like A-A-A-B, 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 like massive rhyming schemes. Well, words themselves are music, and when we first started to utter them, we were making sound in a kind of musical fashion, I think probably mimicking the world around us. They have a magic. They were, in fact, magic. When they started, words had a magic property. They've been diminished by our overuse and our taking them for granted, but they do have a magic property, a substance. They are sort of intangible things that conjure. And of course, it's what happens between them when you start. It's like putting a few brushstrokes on a canvas. Once you've placed a few things there and you place others next to it, something else begins to take on a life of its own. And that is the song. For me, the music props up the lyric. So yes, I was very pleased by the way the song poured out of me and the sheer pleasure I took in the rhyming that somehow lifted the subject matter from dropping down into sort of angst, pure and simple.
And before we hear it, I did want to quickly ask you about where you recorded this song, because you recorded it in your garage in Norfolk.
That's right. Yeah, I had to fashion a workspace because my awful neighbor in London, I've moved now. I just didn't want to end up ending in prison like having punched him. he started building his basement out, which of course he's entitled to do. But I mean, it made working in my studio impossible, and we were in the thick of making this record. So I quickly fashioned a space. I sort of put some floor down in the garage, and I got some gear and took it up there. And it was very, very basic. But the beautiful thing about working in Norfolk was I went up with my producer, and it was just us. So we worked all day, and I cooked dinner, and we had a couple of glasses of wine, and he just said, the very first day we'd work it, why don't we just go back in the studio and see what happens tonight? And I said, great, yeah, because I've got this little idea, which was this song. Let's just start working on this and see what happens. And then the next thing I knew, it just began to form in a very remarkable and rapid way. I didn't get all the lyrics down, but I certainly had these soft, let's call them French word endings, soft word endings, garnish, varnish, tarnished. And it's verging on a rap sort of thing. So that just, it brought a new world to the fore. And of course, rap is all about cadence and crunch and sort of sibilance and impact and gap. And it's word driven. So it relates to this very much.
Will you play it for us?
I will.
After the Harvest, performed live by David Gray on World Cafe.
Days like empty fields after the harvest, this ache where the heart is, like a tree that's bare, neath the sky that's starless, like something out of place. Feel all used up, feel tarnished, like smudged eyeliner, chip nail varnish, like something scarcely visible, garnished with a face. Think I might be done with this final strawness, this pick your heart back up off the flawness, this less that's certainly not monous, this bitter aftertaste, this run right down to the corners, this beat your fist on the donus, this minus, this yawnus. Well, in any case, I know that love is bigger than this dumb day to day. I see it shining figure, fighting for scraps out in the melee. Tell me I got this turned around the wrong way. Tell me I got it mixed up in my head. Like I'm left here standing on the runway, a fleeting thought that barely registers. So imagine gazing up into the great dispassionate eyes that observe us, head slightly tilted to one side the way a bird does, staring quizzically at all our silly little lies, our absurd loves, our scratching at the surface. Clowns throwing custard pies in the circus of our vanity. I know that love is bigger than this grim day to day. I see it shining figure, fighting for scraps out in the melee. Maybe I should know better than to take it personally. When the hand that wrote the love letter decides to write you out the story, maybe I got this turned around the wrong way. Could be I got it mixed up in my head. Feels like I'm left here standing on the runway, a fleeting thought that barely registers. And now the moment of truth's finally upon us,
Take a look in my eyes, see how much I want this. As I stand here astonished, scraping off the filth and cutting away the stifling bodice underneath the brandy skin like a goddess. Words forming on my lips like a promise to myself.
On World Cafe, I'm Raina Duras. This is a feature called Backtracking, where we give an artist a list of prompts about songs. They go back and choose songs from their discography. That was After the Harvest from David Gray. It's from his new album, Dear Life. Next up, David, you've chosen kind of a double prompt, a song that makes you cry and a song that you wrote really quickly. It's also from Dear Life. What is it?
Yeah, this, I think I work very intensely when I really settle into songwriting. I think most of my creative life is organizational, but occasionally I get left to my own devices to make something. And so I was working on something completely different, and I just played a small rise on an A chord or a second fret. I was just noodling like this. And I did that, and I thought, that's nice. I've not done that before. And then I fell back to there. And then I thought, hang on a minute, there's something here. And I stopped doing what I was doing. And then the first line of the song just came immediately. The melody just came, and the whole thing just came. It's going to make me cry now.
Yeah, like how now, does it? How does it feel when a song comes to you
yeah,
that quickly?
It's very, very emotional, because it's not just writing a song. There's all different types of songs, but some of them sort of gestate, it feels, for a very long period of time. They're just waiting to be born, and it's sort of out-of-body experience. So I guess I'm not a religious man in the strict, organized religious way, but I obviously have a faith of some kind, because I put all my efforts into these intangible things. And one of the wonderful things about it is just how surprising it can be when you find what's inside you that you didn't know was there. So, deep breaths. Mortality is knocking, and it's already had some major impacts. There's been a few meteorite impacts on my life. Planet Dave has had a few hits. So it's becoming a more regular thing, and people very close to me getting sick. So I'm at the age now when my dad called me and said, son, you better come down. I've got some bad news. I've got cancer and it's not looking good. And then he was dead in just over 6 months. So he was my age now when he made that call. So all of these, that's a sort of invisible meridian line that I'm about to cross. I don't think I'm going to drop down dead at the age of 57 and 2 months, but it still does make you think, like my memory of him. So anyway, all this stuff, this is what the stuff is that's inside me. And I began to write this song. And it's a, you know, it's a mortality song. It's going to be hard to play it, I can tell you that.
I was going to ask you that, how it feels to perform.
It's very difficult to perform when motion takes over. So what it feels like when you're at the coalface and this happens, as in everything turns on and all the barriers that are normally there, the normal human barriers, consciousness, I suppose you could call it, the forbidding walls of shame and doubt and accepted ideas, they just dissolve and you have access to everything. The whole vault of experience is suddenly open and you can go in and all the images pour from it in a way that amazes you.
The song is called That Day Must Surely Come. Are you ready to play it for us, David? You can do it.
I'm going to do my best for you. I've been hiding for so long. How I stole that bliss, knowing full well that it was wrong. Now I didn't need no pencil and paper to do the song. That day must surely come. Lord, how sweet it is sailing around there, river bend. In a whole lifetime, oh, such a long time to pretend. She stands before us, dark as a forest, ripe as a plum, knowing that day must surely come. I'll hold these words to my chest to show my tongue can not be bought when all this world is made flesh. How is this mouth then to kiss a thought? Lump in my throat, hang this note over the strum, knowing that day must surely come. Tethered bones be light with petals full and answering. Mirrored eyes be bright, blood's merry fires, oh, oh, crackling. Let sorrow choke on wine and smoke, vodka and rum, but know that day must surely come. I can still feel the shock when as a child, for the first time, saw the great void unlocked and understood then it would be mine. No trumpet blast, no champagne glass, no roll on the drum. No, but that day will surely come. Some offer lavish praise, some clothe themselves in brittle shell. Some choose to spend their days damning the whole thing, all the hell. Go west, go east, take most, take least, feast on the crumb. No,
know that day must surely come. Know that day must surely come.
David Gray performing That Day Must Surely Come, the song that he wrote really quickly and that also made him cry. Coming up on Backtracking, David Gray talks about the song that took him a long, long time to write. That's in a minute on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, and this is Backtracking, where we give an artist a list of prompts. They choose a couple of those prompts, match them up to songs from their discography, and tell us why. Today, David Gray is my guest on Backtracking. Earlier, we talked about a song that came to you very quickly. Now we're going to go the other way, the song that took you forever to write. It is on your new album, yeah. Dear Life. I know that this started a really long time ago. When did this song actually begin?
Yeah, it's this chord sequence that started up in 2000, I think probably the end of 2003, beginning of 2004. And I didn't put the last thing that happened was the duet. It ended up being a duet with a young singer called Talia Ray. And putting her voice on was the last act. And that was in early spring last year, so I'd say it's taken 20 years to complete. It had a different lyric and a different melody originally, and there was just something about it that just didn't let me go and just kept coming back, and I, you know, various breakthroughs over the years, and then changing the tempo, changing the key, but I found the second melody, and in keeping with what I was saying about a fast vocal, it was very much in keeping with this new trend in my writing to try these faster vocals. So when I had this new melody, I then found the piano part that became such an integral part of the song. And suddenly I thought, oh, I'm in business here. This is how the song needs to be. But then I had to write the lyric or rewrite the lyric. So I did, and it was one of those, it just refused to just oblige and arrive. It was getting blood out of a stone. I was like, I am going to finish this song. I remember saying to the producer, don't leave the studio, I'm going to finish this verse, you're not going anywhere. And yes, and eventually I got there, and I think I'd put so much effort in it, it had taken so long, I couldn't really see the song. I knew there was something there, but I couldn't enjoy it in a way. It was only when the album was complete and everyone said this has got to be the single, I thought, right, I better learn how to play this, because I'd come up with the piano part independent of the vocal. So it took an awful lot of practice, actually, because it's got a syncopated part that I have to then sing a blues line over the top of against the beat. It's just beyond my, I'm not Stevie Wonder, it was beyond my capabilities, trust me. So I just practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. And as drummers say, split your hands, split your hands. And I had to just let the hands do what they needed to do, and to the point that I could just do that and let them go and then sing the line on top. And in so doing, I recorded myself a few times to see how I was doing. I thought, this song sounds great, just me on the piano. And I could suddenly hear the song, didn't have the joins in it or the decisions in it. It was just me singing the song. Now it was finally finished. So that was the moment when I kind of accepted it, really. So a 20-year period of acceptance.
You're going to perform it for us now. This song is called Plus and Minus. David Gray, live for the World Cafe.
Always wanting something that it just can't have. Tiny love's picture to the wall. Next moment there's no turning back. The following report may contain scenes that some might find upsetting. Look at me, read what's written here. This whole routine is getting old. It's getting old. You know the way the light is always painting someone else's winner's gold. Fate sends a bottle spinning round. I steal a glance that stops you cold. Remind me why we're doing this. You know it's silly, but I keep forgetting. Darling, from where I'm sitting, hey, this whole routine is getting old. It's getting old. So for the fire that gets lit, ooh, and for the flame that regrets it, as you were then plus and minus, sailing by like ocean liners. Do you hear me, boy? Staring to the dim and distant, where it used to be so different. Do you feel me, boy? Stretching out then like a circle, turning round. Suddenly that circle is a sun, splashing red and sinking down. The following report may contain scenes that some might find upsetting. Look at me, read what's written here. This whole routine is getting. So for the fire that gets lit, ooh, and for the flame that regrets,
performing a song from his new album, Dear Life, in front of a live audience. That was David Gray with Plus and Minus. I'm Raina Duras. David Gray is my guest today on Backtracking, where an artist picks a prompt and matches it up with a song from their catalog. That was the song David Gray says took him forever to write, about 20 years to write, but it was worth it.
It was, yeah.
The last prompt that you've chosen is the song you have a complicated relationship with. Could you tell us what it is?
Well, I think it's sort of self-explanatory. It's Babylon, so.
Why are your feelings about Babylon so complicated?
Well, I mean, because I just had to play it so much, and it was just, you know, that period of success. People want to know what success is like. I'll tell you what it's like. It's an endless promo schedule with gigs on top. I mean, I was playing Babylon like, you know, 5-6 times a day, you know, day in, day out, like radio stations. We'd turn up in the States, I'd just do like every station in town. You'd be performing the song, and then you have sound check, and then you've got gig, and then you've got competition winners, and you do an acoustic thing for them. It was like crazy. And you know, obviously it was the song that sort of, in a way, defined that record and launched that record. And for that, I'm very grateful. A bit like Plus and Minus, it's a good pop song. I didn't know that when I wrote it, but I can see that now. So, and there was some genuine feeling there. And I think what happened was that I just lost touch with what the feeling in the song was through just machine-like repetition. And not only that, the sort of ubiquity that I was granted in some places works against you if you want to be taken seriously, it seems. So I begrudged this sort of, you know, suddenly you're just that, you're Babylon, White Ladder, goodbye kind of thing. And obviously, I'm still doing it. You know, it's alive in me like it ever was. In fact, it's richer now, I think, than it ever was. So, you know, in a way, the last 25 years has been about being more than Mr. Babylon. So I just thought the only way out of this is just to keep doing it. And so that's what I've done. And there was a certain point when I sort of turned around to face the past, and it was all right. I'd made it. It just took a long time to find the feeling. And in fact, I'd go further than that. I'd say that as part of my sort of recognition of the song again, I realized that actually why it's such a central song to White Ladder, because I think its proclamation in the chorus is the entire message of White Ladder, which is, I'm talking to myself, let go your heart, let go your head, is basically that's what I managed to do on that record. I got over myself. And I didn't want to blame the world. I wanted to make a record that I could stand by and say, this is me completely giving it my absolute best shot. I'm melodic it by nature as a writer. I just moved towards melody. I moved towards the ideas of these songs with my co-collaborators, Jestin Paulsen producing and Clune on the drums, letting all their ideas and sounds in. And it was a really incredible process. And one of the remarkable things was allowing other people to sort of change your music. I realized it was so much richer and, in fact, sort of more like my music in a way. We made something that didn't sound like the reference points that you can obviously point to, Van Morrison and Bob Dylan or whatever they are, from the past. This was a new type of sort of hybrid form. And again, a sort of act of escape that then needs to be repeated throughout your career. You're constantly trying to escape from the shape you've made. Well, at least I am. Some people just are happy, Hammond organ, bass, guitar, drums, off we go. But that's a completely valid way of making music, but it's not the way for me. Maybe it's a British thing. I don't know. But I'm always looking for that new way, new space. Anyway, this was it. We'd sort of landed and we... So Babylon was part of this amazing process, but I don't think I recognized the song really, because it became a single, and that in itself was a novel experience, having a song that was a single. And it is a very complex relationship.
And this is kind of cool. It was recently rediscovered by a new generation and got big on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
What went through your head when you saw that people were posting videos with the song on it on TikTok?
Well, my daughter said, she's kind of a lot hipper than I am. She said, you know, Dad, there's something happening on TikTok. And bearing in mind that all the people who work for me are supposed to be on top of this stuff, she got it very early. She said, Dad, there's something happening on TikTok. You should show these people some love. And I said, look, what am I supposed to do? TikTok, you know, I don't know. It's going to get banned anyway, forget it. I said, show me what you're talking about. So this is ridiculous. How am I supposed to join in? So then about a week later, she said, it's getting bigger, Dad. You need to do something. I said, okay, come on, show me how it's done. So we're just in the living room. She said, you have to duet with this person. Anyway, this is how it happens. So I said, if I'm going to do this, we have to do an explanation video that I really don't know what I'm getting into, and I have no idea what TikTok is. So anyway, obviously people love that stuff. You make a complete fool of yourself. They're absolutely crazy about that stuff. Fast track to a new career as an idiot.
You're never, ever going to be able to stop playing this song. Will you play it for us right now, David?
Of course, yeah.
This is Babylon.
But there will be a surcharge. Yeah, you'll be charged as you go.
This is Babylon, David Gray on World Cafe.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head. Looking
back through time. You know it's clear that I've been blind. I've been a fool to open up my heart to all that jealousy, that bitterness, that ridicule. Saturday, I'm running wild and all the lights are changing red to green. Moving through the crowd, I'm pushing, chemicals are rushing in my bloodstream. Only wish that you were here, you know I'm seeing it so clear. I've been afraid to show you how I really feel, admit to some of those bad mistakes I made. And if you want it, come and get it, crying out loud. The love that I was giving you was never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and feel it now. Shining skies fading, red to blue. I'm kicking through the autumn leaves and wondering where it is you might be going to. Then I'm turning back for home, you know I'm feeling so alone. I can't believe climbing on the stair, I turn around to see you smiling there in front of me. And if you want it, come and get it, crying out loud. The love that I was giving you was never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and feel it now. Let go of your heart, let go of your head.
Live for the World Cafe, David Gray, Babylon, from his 1998 album, White Ladder. You're listening to World Cafe's Backtracking, where we give an artist a bunch of prompts. They choose a song from their discography to answer those prompts. That song was David's answer to the song you have a complicated relationship with. David has a new album called Dear Life. He's been my guest today. David Gray, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Thank you.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a new installment of Backtracking. Our guest was David Gray. If you missed any, you can also find it on our podcast, World Cafe. Just search that wherever you get your podcasts. And you can see that session at worldcafe.org and on the World Cafe YouTube. Here's Regina Spektor on the radio.
This is how it works. It feels a little worse than when we drove our hearse right through that screaming crowd while laughing up a storm until we were just bone, until it got so warm that none of us could sleep, and all the styrofoam began to melt away. We tried to find some worms to aid in the decay, but none of them were home. Inside the catacomb, a million ancient bees began to sting our knees while we were on our knees praying that disease would leave the ones we love and never come again. On the radio we heard November rain, that solo's real long but it's a pretty song. We listened to it twice cause the DJ was asleep. Bum, 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 bum. This is how it works. You're young until you're not. You love until you don't. You try until you can. Inside yourself, you take the things you like, then try to love the things you took, and then you take that love you made and stick it into someone else's heart, pumping someone else's blood and walking arm in arm. You hope it don't get harmed, but even if it does, you just do it all again. On the radio, you'll hear November rain. That solo's awful long, but it's a good refrain. You'll listen to it twice, cause the DJ is asleep. On the radio, on the radio, on the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio. Well, it hit me and it hurt me.
Don't let the past, don't let the past, don't let the past.
That's Old Crow Medicine Show with Miles Away. Before that, you heard Gillian Welch and David Rawlings with Empty Trainload of Sky. That's from their most recent album, Woodland. And before that, Regina Spektor on the radio. And
programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sand Point, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sand Point Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Schumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.schumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Schumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.